In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to Good Friday. We're about halfway there. As we gather tonight, we are focusing on the cross and the death of Jesus on this cross. And it always begs the question, of course, what makes this Good Friday, as we all refer to it as such. And then we come and we hear this story yet again in the midst of Holy Week, of the way in which Jesus was brought to the authorities and even against their own desires, driven by his own people to be crucified. And then we ask again, what makes this good? And the reality is this: we celebrate Good Friday because this is the day in which we are given a gift, not just any gift, but an extravagant gift that we don't deserve. And I'm sure at some point in your life, perhaps someone has given you an extravagant gift that you didn't feel was appropriate. They gave you too much. And so the way we normally respond to that is we try to give it back. It's too much. And I think sometimes as God's people, those who claim to be following Jesus Christ, we have this time as we move away from the time in which he was crucified and walked this earth in our own journey. We talk about this reality of what it means to be receiving salvation through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have to just say, but it's too much. We are very quick to understand that God's forgiveness is for all people, and yet we struggle to recognize that it's for us. I have no problem knowing that Jesus has forgiven every one of you, but if I'm going to be honest, there are moments when I struggle with the incredible, extravagant gift of his forgiveness for me. And I suspect maybe some of you feel the same. We very easily recognize that Jesus forgives others. As Episcopalians, we like to hear that wonderful question, are you saved? And most Episcopalians will respond, I hope so. Well, brothers and sisters, you are. And if somebody wants to know when, you can let them know it was on a Friday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, a couple thousand plus years ago. That's when you were saved. That is when Jesus paid the price. That is when he stepped into the fullness of what God had called him to do, God incarnate. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. See, all that's left for us to do is accept the gift of God's grace, bought with his very body and blood. He's paid the price. So if we sit and we wonder, and if we've been working our way through this season of Lent and just sort of touching it a little bit and going, yeah, maybe God will forgive me for that, but I'm okay if he doesn't, because I know how bad I am and I know how bad it can be. And I can't be totally free of the guilt and the shame and the pain that I have because that's just the way I am. Maybe that's how God made me, but it isn't. See, the gift that he's given, the gift of his grace, the freedom that we have in him is something we can be sure of. Something that we can walk in and we can accept with great joy. And that gift was given on the cross with his very body and blood. Can we accept it? Can we take such an extravagant gift and just let it soak into the depth of our soul to a level that we can say, for me? And the answer is yes, for you, for each of us, for all of us. And what does he ask in return? Hard to say, isn't it? And maybe that's why we're so reluctant to actually accept the fullness of the gift. What's the catch? Is it too good to be true? Yes, it is. It is too good to be true, yet it is true. And we can sit and we can wonder, or we can just accept it and discover the fullness of what it is God has for us. And then we begin to see other people, right? Even sometimes people in the church, maybe somebody sees you this way, I hope. I know people see me this way. And we wander through our lives and we have this confidence and this assurance in Jesus Christ, in what he has done for us and the gift he's given. And you may say, how do I get that confidence? How do I get to walk that way? How do I get to be like that Christian over there? And the answer is, accept the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, and the healing that comes to us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We accept it and we change. See, there's nothing else we can do. We can grab a hold of all the rules and we can follow all the rules and we can go to all the church services we're supposed to go to. We can do all of those things if we want. But if we don't get to a place of the full acceptance of his grace and mercy, it means nothing. It's been a long time since I've been interrupted by the train. Oliver's not here to copy it today. But the reality, brothers and sisters, is when we fully accept what Jesus has done for us and because of us, we change. We can have it in our head. We can think it through and go, okay, I'll go along with it. But the difference comes when it sinks into the depth of your soul, when you allow yourself to fall at the foot of his cross, when you allow yourself to acknowledge the depth of your own sin and your pain and your sorrow, when you weep for the fact that it is our sinfulness that put this Jesus on the cross, when that brings you to a place of weeping and it sinks into the pain that is real within you, that is where the healing comes. If we let him touch that pain, we let him reach into the depth of what we have done and who we are and what we have experienced, and then we change. Then we change. And the journey we're on in this Holy Week is today, we fall at the foot of his cross to recognize that he's paid the price, that he has done what we cannot do. And the letter to the Hebrews will say, therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, enter the sanctuary, it says. That speaks something to the Jewish person. Because nobody goes into the sanctuary because that's where God is. And through the blood of Jesus, brothers and sisters, we can go into the very presence of God. The very presence of God. And we can do it with confidence. Not in fear, as our Jewish ancestors would have. Not where they would have tied the rope to the man, the priest that was going to go in there, just in case he saw God and fell over dead so they could pull him out. The curtain will be torn, and by the blood of Christ, we with confidence can come into the very presence of God, reconciled fully to him. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says, hold fast to that faith. Hold fast to that faith and approach. Approach. That's what this service is about. This service is about approaching his cross with the fullness of who we are. And there's going to be an uncomfortable moment in this service where we have that opportunity to approach. I remember the first Good Friday I attended. where that happened. I'd seen a lot of other things that were very nice, and we sat in a pew and went, that was very nice. And then I experienced a very raw approaching of his cross. And I was changed. Because I recognized that on the wood of that cross, by the very body and blood of Jesus, offered an extravagant gift that I did not deserve, that I could not earn, salvation, reconciliation to my God. I recognize that it's mine. And I know that it's yours. So I'm going to say, if you continually find yourself sitting in a pew and waiting for your heart to change, it will change when you approach. That's what he asks in return. He says, come to me. Approach with confidence, knowing the fullness of your brokenness, with a faith that assures the extravagant gift is yours.